Great. Let's speak to you about the first reading that Jimmy read from the book of Deuteronomy. I hope I haven't told you this anecdote before, so please excuse me if I have, but it just really comes to mind when I'm listening to this. When I was about 16, I decided to I'd been through grade 9 twice, and I thought that was good enough. Didn't need to go through it again. So when I was 16, I decided to go to work to escape the oppressive prison that was my home, and find my reward in a farm implements factory, because that's certainly liberating, isn't it? Working on the assembly line. I don't know if any of you ever have worked on the assembly line. It starts to get a little bit boring after about the first 5 minutes. But anyway, I was 16 and I wanted to leave. I wanted to leave this kind of what I consider to be my suffocating environment. You know, I was 16, right? So despite the fact that I found my home extremely suffocating, I worked about 90 miles away from my hometown in another small town, about an hour and a half drive. Despite the fact that I found my home just so extremely oppressive, I returned every weekend. What's the logic in that? And in those days, because it was those days, I would hitchhike. Don't do it. Warning you, don't do it. But anyway, that it was very common in the 1970s for people to hitchhike. And so I'd hitchhike. I don't know if I hitchhiked there and back. I think I just hitchhiked there and then got a ride back. And it usually worked pretty well. People were used to picking up hitchhikers those days. I usually ended up home, you know, at a reasonable time on a Friday night. But on this one particular night, I got stranded. I got stranded in a place called Ninga, Manitoba, which is not New York City. It's a little town off the highway. You have to walk off the highway to this town. And it's actually a little village more than a town. And it was late at night. I was stranded there. I don't know how late it was. It was, I think it was summer or fall, but it was really dark. So I don't know how late it was, pretty late. And so I thought, I've got no choice but to walk in and find myself a payphone. This town is so, back in those days, it was so small, it didn't even have a payphone. And so I'm thinking, what am I going to do? How am I going to make it home? Like might be about 20 minute drive, maybe half an hour, but a long, long walk in the middle of the night. And so I looked around and I thought, all I can do is, it's middle of the night, but if somebody's got their lights on, I'll knock on the door and ask if I can use the phone. I should preface this by saying that in the middle of the night, coming to somebody's house, I probably would have resembled a young Charles Manson. It was the 70s, man. The way that I looked. And so this very nice young, older gentleman, you know, he had his lights on, came to the door, looked at me with a little bit of anxiety, and finally let me come in after some convincing, use the phone. And I called my father. At that point, I did not have a very good relationship with my father for all kinds of reasons. And he died, but probably about a year and a half later. And part of the not great relationship probably had to do with combination of my bad attitude about everything and also his illness, which, you know, he was not the way that he used to be, understandably. And so I called him, took my humility in hand, called him, and he came and got me. And the thing about him coming to get me is he just came and got me, and he did not say a word. I mean, he wasn't talking to me, like, son, he just didn't say a word, right? About him coming to get me. A wandering Aramean was my ancestor. That's why I think of this. Wandering has a different couple of potential meanings in the original language. It can mean a happy group of, say, sheep or goats that have just are having a good day with each other very socially, and just, I don't know, one of the other goats or sheep leads them astray, and so they just merrily go the wrong way. Could be that. Can also mean to be lost to the point that you are in danger. And the wandering Aramean who is referred here, Aramean simply means Syrian. You're from that part of the world between Iraq and Syria, which is where, of course, the Abraham's family came from. The wandering Aramean that's being referred to in this text is the patriarch Jacob, who he's a nomad, right? So that's wandering. And he was wandering in a variety of different ways. I don't know if people know the story of Jacob very well in the book of Genesis, but if you do, you will know this guy was really a wanderer. He left home not because he wanted to get a job at the farm implements factory. He left home because he basically deceived his brother out of his birthright, as you may know, and his brother wanted to kill him. So he was wandering. He was wandering partly because he was too clever by half. Not just a nomad, but also somebody who was capable of causing harm to himself and to others through his wandering, so to speak. Wandering Aramean is my ancestor. So this is what's confessed at the festival of the first fruits, right? Harvest time in ancient Israel. You would bring your, as it says here, you bring your first fruits to the shrine, wherever that was at the time. You'd bring them to the priest. And surprisingly, you would not recite a prayer. You would, as they used to say back in the Pentecostal church when I was a kid, you would give your testimony. And you are giving your testimony, or to put it in a more Anglican way, you were reciting your creed, not a prayer, but a testimony or creed. And that is, here I am, and here is how God has been at work with me. And as a result of that, I'm bringing you these first fruits today. So the testimony, as you heard, which was to be repeated, is, here I am at harvest time, a wandering Aramean, just like Jacob, and in search of a home. In the Bible, home is a profoundly important idea. You can see people throughout the Bible searching for a home, certainly in the first part. They're nomads, not entirely sure where they're going sometimes, end up in the wrong place, end up in Egypt, which turns out to be horrible. But the desire is not, sometimes we wander, and we think, well, it's for the sake of the journey, right? It's a journey just for the sake of a journey is not very satisfying. We need to know somewhere that we're moving towards. And in our deepest heart, tell me if this is wrong, believe in our deepest heart, we long for home, whatever that home is. So here, a wandering Aramean is my ancestor. And I bring today these first fruits to you as a sign of this, that the Lord has searched me out, and the Lord has found me, and the Lord has brought me home. That is the testimony. And so I bring you these first fruits as my testimony that this is my story. I once was lost, but now I'm found. That's the heart of the testimony of Deuteronomy 26, which, just as an interesting aside, may be the oldest section of the Old Testament, and in fact, well, of course, the whole Bible. That myths may be the oldest part. And in fact, some people would say everything kind of grew out of that and out of this basic conviction. I once was lost and now I'm found, and the Lord has brought me to a home. So I confess my bad reading of the Bible, despite my many years of expensive education, that I sometimes read it very badly. And so I've read this a gazillion times, and I'm going, oh yeah, tit for dat. You know, God did something for us, you know, for him, Israelite. And now the Israelite's doing something for him. Isn't that nice? Nice kind of little exchange of gifts or something, you know? But that's not what it means. It is not simply an arrangement. You give me this, you give me a home, and I give you some corn. The intention is this. This gift is an expression of love and thanks to the beloved who has searched me out despite my wandering and has found me out of love and brought me home to this good land full of milk and honey, sheerly out of love for me. His only intention is out of love. And so, my beloved, I give this now to you. I think the word beloved is very important here. My wife was pointing out to me earlier, she's reading the Song of Solomon. She goes, oh, this is amazing, you know, because the Lord, and I know it's a marriage thing and it's kind of metaphorical, but in the end, the Lord is the beloved. He's not just, you know, giving us stuff because we do a thing for him. The Lord is the beloved who comes and searches for us. Like, do people remember the children's song, I am my beloved's and he is mine. His banner over me is love. Yeah. I'm now embarrassed. I was singing that. You should sing along with me to make me less embarrassed. But anyway, but that's from the Song of Solomon's, of course, but it's really at the heart of Deuteronomy is saying, I am my beloved and he is mine. And his banner over me is love. And so out of the return of my love to you, I bring you these gifts as a small sign, the small sign of my love for you. Stewardship, which we historically talk about this time of year, but we're going to try and talk about all year long, which is a sharing of our time, talents, and treasures. Is of course a duty. We understand that. There's nothing wrong with the word duty, is there? Duty is a good thing. It's what glues things together. But stewardship is rooted in something deeper than duty. Stewardship is rooted in this, that God, Jesus our God, we are the prodigal son, right? We are the prodigal son. And Jesus, our God, has searched for us, found us in our wandering. And do you remember how that story ends? The father runs out, embraces the son, and clothes him with every fantastic thing he has. And so we, in return, just express our gratitude in whatever way we can, in our time and treasure and talent. The thing I am grateful for when I think about my father, again, who passed away not long after that, the thing I'm grateful for with my father, you know, with me and my stubbornness, you know, and you know, I know better, but I get myself lost. Kind of like the story of everybody's life, spiritually in one way or another. The thing I'm grateful to my father for that night is he did not say, I told you so. You know, he just simply came and found me and drove me home without comment. The light we have to shine, this is our as you know, this is our stewardship theme throughout this year. We shine our light, right? That's the image, to shine our light. So the light we have to shine, I want to say the only light we have to shine as we think about this in the upcoming year is this. The only light we have to shine is that we have been found. I do not possess within myself this light. I have the light which the Lord has lended me, has given me. The light we have to shine is this. A wandering Aramean was my ancestor, but the Lord has found me and brought me to this good land. And now I give this small gift to you, my beloved. Amen.